What's up, you guys? Doing another movie retrospective, going back again to the 1950s, a cheesy horror classic starring man, myth, legend, Vincent Price.
Yeah.
Probably one of my
hot-ass
Vincent Price. Yeah, probably one of my favorite. Yeah, he looks really good in this.
Yeah, he's a handsome man.
He is a handsome man.
The younger he was, better he looked. He aged well.
He did, yeah. He was actually like a cool as fuck looking old dude, too, because he was in, Edward Scissorhands and stuff. Yeah, he looked all like ghoulish, but still kind of like hot.
Actually, that Dr. Fives was good.
Remember that everything he's in is good. If he's in it, I'll watch it. Yeah. I don't give a shit like what the rest of the movie is like. Yeah. But honestly, House on Haunted Hill is one of the ones that keeps getting brought up all the time. This came out the same year, 1959, as The Tingler. I like The Tingler as well, but I kind of like this one better just because I think this one has less... I feel like The Tingler is like a cool concept and it has like more body horror thing. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But it has a lot of kind of downtime, and I feel like House on Haunted Hill doesn't really have that. House on Haunted Hill is like pretty fast paced in the sense that there's always something like creepy happening, and I tend to like haunted house type stories better than more sci-fi type stuff, even though technically you could say, and this is going to have spoilers obviously because this movie is so fucking old and it's been remade, we'll talk about that in a little bit too, but technically, this might not be a haunted house movie. It might not be supernatural. They kind of leave it ambiguous as to whether... Because the shit that happens in the movie is pretty much not... It's like some Scooby-Doo kind of shit. Like, a person did it. But it's, you know, it's still, like, left it possible that there's ghosts. You know what I'm saying?
It's not my kind of movie, but, yeah.
But it is, like, super cheesy fun. I've seen this a bunch of times. So when I was rewatching it for this show, I watched the colorized version that they did on Riff Tracks Live, like from back in 2010. That was like their Halloween show back in 2010. They've done a regular version of it as well. And I also have a DVD version, that just has Mike Nelson's commentary on it. The reason they keep going back to this one and Night of the Living Dead and stuff like that is because I'm not sure if you know, but House on Haunted Hill from 1959 is in the public domain.
Okay.
So if you go on YouTube, there's 40 bajillion. I mean, this is really, really easy to watch. And I feel like everybody has probably seen it at some point.
It's not a bad movie, but it's a movie of the 50s.
Sure.
It's a little more wild than the average movie of the 50s, but it's not quite as good as it was until, you know, the shit Price was doing in the 70s and the 60s to me was like a lot better. But it's a decent watch.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like... I know I said that maybe this was my favorite role of his, but now I'm thinking about the Roger Corman Poe adaptations.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like Mask of the Red Death is maybe my favorite. But he's great in this one, too.
Yeah.
And the thing about this one is that he's not really... I guess it's kind of left, again, ambiguous as to whether he's a villain or not. I mean, it's possible that he's a villain, or it's possible that he's, like, a victim of a villainous scheme. But, you know, again, it's kind of left ambiguous. So, much like as the case with The Tingler, this was made by gimmick king William Castle. The gimmick in this one was not quite as cool as the one for The Tingler with, like, all the vibrating motors under the people's seats. This one just had something called Emergo, which toward the end of the movie, like, at the climax when the skeleton comes out of the acid bath or whatever, like, the acid pit that everybody has in their basement, when that comes out, like, in certain theaters, they would have a plastic or an inflatable skeleton that was, like, on this rig, so it kind of looked like it was coming out of the screen.
Emergo.
Emergo.
It emerged.
Emerged.
They'll do anything to get these kids to
it worked.
Them.
It worked.
Let's go see Emergo. Oh, that's Emergo. Fuck Emergo. Little kids throwing shit.
They're throwing popcorn and stuff like that.
Fuck Emergo.
Well, it was just, like, fun. And honestly, the way that William Castle approached the movies was that he wanted it to be like a carnival ride.
Yeah.
Like, you'd ride, like, the Carnival Funhouse. So it's not, like, nothing too scary or anything like that, but a similar kind of thing. So I kind of feel like this is a movie that, you know, kids can watch it because it's not really all that scary. And it's kind of like a Halloween type of movie. You know what I mean? Just because it's kind of old-fashioned and kind of cheesy.
With a fucking gimmick to get the kids to come in.
Yeah, but just, like, fun.
Right.
So
they couldn't sell them boobs.
Yeah, that's
true. So they had to come up with something.
Yeah, it was the
50s. Later on, they just put boobs in it.
Yeah.
And they'd show up. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, just like in the first 2 minutes. It's like, boobs. Everybody's like, all right,
I gotta pay attention.
But yeah, they couldn't do that back then. So you had to do kind of more. And like I said, I kind of feel like these were maybe geared toward maybe slightly younger
kids. Right. Well, that's what I meant. They yeah. couldn't show it to young kids, so they had to do shit like that. But right. later on, fucking horror movies did a lot about boobs, and they had kids in there.
I feel like this is a good, probably not so much nowadays because it's really old, but yeah. I feel like this is a good, if you want to introduce your kids to horror, because yeah. I know that, like, you know, people my generation, they're super into horror and try to, like, they're always kind of like, what's some kid-friendly stuff that it's like, I want to get my kid into horror, but I don't want to, like, traumatize them for life or anything. So what are some good sort of kid-friendly horrors? And I think this is probably, like, a decent one to start with because it kind of has some creepy shit in it. Like that one jump scare with that old lady who looks, like, really horrifying.
Yeah, I thought she was the woman who played the fucking Wicked Witch of the West.
Margaret Hamilton.
Yeah, I thought it was her, but...
It looks like her, but it's not. She's under kind of, like, a lot of... Yeah, she's yeah. just one of those witchy-looking ladies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, interestingly, I was kind of, like, looking into the background of this movie, like, into... You know, we talked a little bit about William Castle, but I'll get back into that in a little bit. This was actually written by a guy named Rob White. And he also wrote the screenplay for 13 Ghosts, which is interesting because this movie and 13 Ghosts have almost the same premise, pretty much. And they were both remade, like, in the late 90s, early 2000s by the same company, all kind of production company. I'll get into that. Although the guy that wrote this, interestingly, was pretty well known for writing, like, adventure fiction. Like, he was a veteran, so he wrote, like, all this kind of World War II adventure fiction. And he also wrote stuff for, like, what they would nowadays call, like, YA novels. And he had, like, a bunch of his stuff adapted to film and shit like that. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But I just thought it was interesting the same guy wrote 13 Ghosts. It shouldn't be that surprising because they're both, like, really similar. But, yeah, so what you have, too, is the house where it was filmed. Interestingly, you see the poster. Like, I love the original poster for House on Haunted Hill. But the house that's in that is clearly not the house that's in the movie, obviously. And on the poster, it looks like this creepy, like, old... You know, like a haunted mansion. But the house they used for the actual movie was a very famous house called Ennis House, which is in Los Feliz, California, which was built by, or designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. And it was supposed to resemble a Mayan temple. It's still there. I think they used to do tours of it, although I don't know if they do anymore just because it's kind of old and there's, like, safety concerns. But that kind of, like, weird-looking house has been used in, like, a fuck ton of them. They used it in Blade Runner. They used it in Day of the Locust. They used it in Karate Kid 3, which I thought was, like, really funny. They used it in Black Rain, that Ridley Scott movie. So it's a very, very famous, like, L.A. landmark. So they actually used that for the exteriors. Obviously, the interiors were done all on a soundstage. So as I said, William Castle, prior to making the movie Macabre, which came out in 1958, like a year before that, he was kind of more like a Hollywood guy, but he did more, like, noir-type stuff. He didn't really do horror. But in the 50s, I guess he kind of became disillusioned with the Hollywood system. I guess, like, the way, you know, they keep fucking around the movies and, you know, changing their shit. And so he said, I'm going to go independent. And so Macabre was the first one he made. And I think we talked about on the Tingler how the gimmick for that was... Everybody that came to see the movie, they'd give you, like, a $1,000 life insurance policy if you died of fright during the movie. So that was the gimmick for Macabre, and that was, like, a huge success. So he said, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do now. I'm going to make these really low-budget, but just kind of fun, carnival-type horror movies that have a gimmick. So it was, like, really successful. Interestingly, because of the success of William Castle's movies, particularly this one, Alfred Hitchcock, now William Castle was a big fan of Hitchcock's. He would even do, like, Hitchcock kind of shit, like turning up in the trailers for his own movies and stuff. But when Alfred Hitchcock saw what William Castle did with House on Haunted Hill, really, really low budget horror film with a gimmick, and it made all this money, he said, I'm going to try that out, and he made Psycho. So, interestingly, and then, like, later on, so they kind of had, like, a mutual... influence type of thing. So I have seen, like, some kind of horror historian type people speculate that had Alfred Hitchcock not seen House on Haunted Hill and, like, how successful it was, he might never have made Psycho, and we might never have had, like, the slasher film genre, or it would have happened, like, a lot differently than it did happen or happened later. I think it would have happened anyway, but it might have not happened the same way that it did happen. Because we did have, there was another movie that came out in 1960, which we've covered, which is Peeping Tom, which was also, like, a slasher movie as well.
If any of y'all have not seen fucking Psycho, you're fucking bad. You're just bad.
It's just right. one of those things you gotta see that one. It's even if you're not like a horror movie nerd,
you gotta see it.
Yeah. I mean, definitely if you're a horror movie nerd, you have to see it.
It's well written, super yeah. well written. The story pulls you in, even though you know it's an old movie. It's still very effective, and all of the sequels that came after it were good. They were all real good.
Yeah, they're all worth watching.
There wasn't any bad ones. And fucking Anthony Perkins fucking blows you out of the water with each sequel. And there's like five of them. I think five, right?
Four. Yeah. Four.
They're all good.
And then they did the series yeah. Bates Motel.
Yep.
Which I still haven't watched yet. Yep. I think we have it. I think somebody sent us yeah. Bates Motel, but we haven't watched. I think I watched the first one, but I just got
somebody
distracted.
Sent us that a hard copy?
I think so. I think I saw it in the man cave.
Oh, I'll go check.
I'm pretty sure that somebody sent us that series. But yeah, so I just think it's really interesting that maybe the way that like the slasher genre ended up playing out, or the way horror movies ended up playing out post Psycho, because that was like a huge milestone, might not have happened in that way if not for House on Haunted Hill, which is crazy because, like I said, it was Alfred Hitchcock being like, hey, I'm going to try doing what that guy's doing. You know what I mean? And then, like, later on, you know, sort of William Castle kind of, like, returned the favor, I guess. Like, 1961, he made a Psycho ripoff called Homicidal, which, you know, so they were just kind of going back and forth. It's just kind of like the Italian giallo movies and the American slashers. It just seemed like one influenced the other, and then that one went back there. So it was like this big feedback loop. So it was that type of shit, too. Now, it also should be noted that William Castle, I think I might have mentioned this before, but he actually, even though he's kind of known as like the gimmick king and like making these kind of schlocky, fun, carnival ride sort of horror movies, he was actually really serious about horror. And he actually wanted to make House on Haunted Hill. He was sort of doing a riff on Shirley Jackson's novel, The Haunting of Hill House, which had come out the same year, earlier in the same year, and was kind of like really successful. And as I mentioned on another show, he actually, before the Book of Rosemary's Baby came out, the Ira Levin novel, he recognized, oh man, that would be like a great movie, and he bought the rights while it was still like in the proof stage before it was even published, and he was actually going to direct it, but you know, various things happened and he didn't end up, and obviously Roman Polanski ended up doing it and it was a classic, but he did actually recognize good horror when he saw it is what I'm getting at. So what I kind of feel like, okay, so if you haven't seen this movie, as I said, it's in the public domain, so you can probably just see it. It's on YouTube, it's on Tubi, it's everywhere, because it's free. But what you have is Vincent Price plays this kind of eccentric millionaire type guy. And the house on Haunted Hill is not his house. He rented it from another guy so he could throw a party for his wife. Now, his wife, I think she's like his fourth wife or fifth wife or something like that. And the best thing about this movie, just like the best thing about The Tingler, is that Vincent Price and the woman, Carol Omart, who plays his wife, absolutely despise one another. And it's glorious. I mean, he basically is making jokes. So they have these great, like, conversations where he's just kind of like, remember all the fun we had when you tried to poison me? And, like, all that other kind of shit. It's so awesome. And she's just like, I don't even know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. So it's just kind of like all the back and forth between the two of them, like, talking about how much they hate each other is just, like, excellent. So there's this whole thing about he is throwing her the party, but then they invited all these people that are just like random. Like, they don't know them really. They don't know, the guests don't know each other. He just picked them because he's like, well, these were just people that I knew of that needed money. So basically the setup, it's kind of like a game setup, obviously, like some later movies like Would You Rather and stuff. They're like, I just found some desperate ass people and sent them invitations. You have to come stay in the house on Haunted Hill. You stay here one night and don't die, and you'll each get $10,000. But then it seems as though when they all get there, he kind of makes it so they can't leave, because he's like, well, after midnight, we're just going to lock the shit up and you can't leave. Although he gives them like an opportunity to leave beforehand. Now, the thing about it, though, is that you're not entirely sure. Because he keeps saying that it was his wife's idea for the party, and she's just kind of like, well, it was my idea until you invited all these people. Who the fuck are these people? But they're doing this whole, like, thing. So after all of the people are locked inside, and kind of start to wander around the house, you know, various scary things start to happen. You have, like, the one chick who is named Nora, who is quite a screamer. Holy crap. But she, I guess, works for one of Vincent Price's companies, but he didn't really know her, but, you know, she needed money, so she came there. And she is kind of like the one that it seems like most of the haunting or whatever it is targeted toward. So she kind of goes down to the basement exploring, and she's the one that gets that, like, old lady jump scare in her face, which, like I said, is the very most effective jump scare in the movie by a mile, because that woman does look really freaky. And then, like, after that, after she's scared by the old woman, like, kind of floats out of the room like she's on a skateboard, like, which is actually is, like, pretty cool. Because so I was, like, watching it going, that is pretty creepy. I mean, it's just creepy than her just, like, walking out. But the thing about it is that they don't... Okay, so I don't know if you guys know, but the guy that owns the house, he's convinced that it's haunted. Because he's like, look, my brother was murdered in here. All these people were murdered in there. We're not saying that. But he's convinced that all of these ghosts are still there, and the ghosts are the ones that are, like, are killing people. But as it turns out, in this particular case, you're kind of left, it's left ambiguous as to whether it's actually ghosts or not, because you find out that Vincent Price's wife has kind of engineered a lot of the shit. Although, if when you're watching it, they're like, some of the shit that happens in there, I'm like, how the fuck did she pull that off? I don't really know. So they kind of leave it ambiguous as to whether maybe it's ghosts. But what she does is she, not too long into the movie, commits suicide. But then they're like, well, she had to have been murdered because she was hanging there, like, up by the ceiling, but there was nothing for her to, like, step on or anything, so somebody must have put her up there. But it turns out, though, that her and one of the other guests, who's, like, a psychiatrist who studies hysteria, are, like, fucking, and so they're, like, in cahoots. And their whole elaborate, very convoluted plan is that they wanted him to invite all these people to this house, and then they would make it seem like it was haunted, so one of them would freak out and kill Vincent Price. So they could be like, I don't know what happened, man. Like, somebody just flipped out because of the ghost and killed him. We didn't have anything to do with it. So it was like I said, like a very convoluted plan where they were going to do that. And it seems like it's going to work out because, you know, the girl, Nora, that they kind of are trying to scare into shooting Vincent Price's character, she does shoot him. But it turns out that Vincent Price was on to this fucking plan all along and loaded all the guns with blanks and everything. Because they give all the guests, like, guns at some point, too. But, you know. So this movie is, like, it's quite short. I think it's only 80 minutes long, if that. So a lot of the middle part is kind of, like, just the guests sort of, like, wandering around the house and getting scared by various things. As I said, some of the scenes are quite effective. The one with, like, the old lady, the scary old lady, that's pretty good. And I also really like the scene where Nora looks out her window and sees what she thinks is the ghost of the wife, like, kind of floating out there, like, in her nightgown. And then, like, the rope comes in and sort of, like, goes around her feet and stuff, which, again, I don't know how they pulled that off, if she wasn't a ghost, because she wasn't. But... You know, so I don't know. So I feel like the middle part of it is just kind of like a lot of wandering around. But that said, the house looks so cool and Vincent Price is so cool that I'm not even mad about it. You know what I'm saying? And I honestly really like the end with the acid bath and the fucking... Yeah. Because who has that? It's like, well, it seems like when they do, like, the tour at the beginning of the house, because this is a very kind of, like, fourth wall breaking sort of movie, because you have, like, Vincent Price and you have, like, the guy that owns the house, like, at the beginning, like, talking directly to the audience, like, talking about all the shit that happened in the house. And they do kind of, like, a tour, and he's talking about, you know, this person died in this place and everything. And in the basement... There's this big fucking pit that has, like, all his acid in it.
Well, some dudes have those.
I know. And then, like, it just has this, like, a trap door, like, a big trap door, yeah, that you, like, lower over it. Yeah. And everybody's like, did anybody think, like, because somebody got killed in there, in that acid vat. And the guy that owns it, whose brother was one of the people murdered, I don't think he got put in the acid, but some other people did. You would think that now that guy owns the house, you'd think that he'd maybe want to have that pumped out. I mean, it seems like a safety hazard, I'm just saying. Maybe there's not really a service that will come in there and, like, pump acid out of your basement. But you would think that if that was your house... Because I could just see myself going down to do laundry one day and be like, bah! Like, falling into the fucking acid pit. You know what I'm saying? I could see that happening.
All right, well, Jenny likes the movie. To me, It's a 50s movie.
It is. I'm not 50s, saying, yeah.
Let me finish what I'm going to say. 50s movies, when it comes to horror, they felt to me very same-ish. It's very rare just one jump out at you. Now, it's because of the Hays Code. Fucking 1930s horror was a lot better. All right. When it comes to 50s, sci-fi was better in the 50s if it was real high-end, like War of the Worlds and fucking Forbidden Planet, because they could do more. There wasn't much they could do in horror in the 50s. It was, especially if it, so they made it for kids a lot of times. So, it wasn't until later, the 60s, yeah, it was me. That's really when fucking horror started to become something, when they had a rating system so they could make something rated R.
Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah. if I'm being honest, the 50s isn't my favorite. The 50s isn't my favorite decade, largely because a lot of it was sci-fi, and a lot of it was, like, really cheesy B sci-fi, which sci-fi isn't my favorite subgenre anyway.
They could get away with more sci-fi.
But sci-fi, they could get away with a lot more. But the thing about House on Haunted Hill, this is kind of, like, late 50s, but it was actually essentially a little bit parodying the sort of old dark house kind of trope. Yeah. Because even in 1959, that was old. That was, like, tired. They had done that back in the silent movie era. That had done back in, like, Agatha Christie type of stuff. Yeah. And like I said, it's almost kind of like House on Haunted Hill. It almost works a little bit better as, like, a noir type, like a murder mystery. Because it's essentially more like a murder mystery than a ghost story. Because you don't actually know at the end of the movie if the house is actually haunted or not. Because a lot of the stuff was engineered by either Vincent Price's character or his wife, Annabelle.
In the 50s, they could horrify you with sci-fi, aliens coming to attack you, fucking other planets, fucking scary shit there. Because there's a sci-fi setting behind it, so there's a plausibility. Yeah, there's a monster. It's on another planet. But when it came to horror, now it has to horrify you. So you're talking about murders and fucking bodies and ghosts and shit like that. But they were limited in what they could show you in horror. So the horror of the 50s, they couldn't really horrify you because they were limited in what they could show
they
you.
They had to pull their punches somewhere. I mean, I feel like it was really probably like the 70s before the doors got blown off with shit like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Last House on the Left.
Well, you could see it coming in the 60s, though, too.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely
Psycho
could.
Was, what, 61, 62?
1960.
All right, Psycho was the beginning of horror. That was a slasher. Didn't show the slashing, but they made you think you saw that slashing. But it was all plausible. Motherfucker was crazy, living in a damn hotel. Thought he was his mom. Ed Gein. They knew about Ed Gein. So that freaked him out.
Yeah.
But the thing is that to do that in the cron strains of the 50s or the 60s or the very early 60s, you had to be a genius at writing.
Yeah.
And there weren't very many geniuses at writing interested in doing horror. Alfred Hitchcock was the only thing they had. He was badass, though. He was good. He was really good.
Yeah, because most of the horror was just like low-budget kind of stuff. Low-budget just like sci-fi. They didn't. It wasn't taken seriously as a genre. Like I said, probably till the 70s.
Yeah, but fucking Hitchcock came out, and when people saw Psycho, they were like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. You know, horror is a real genre. If you do it right, it's scary, you know? So you can give it a hit. You can hand it to Hitchcock, all right? Although, let's be honest, Hitchcock was watching movies from the 30s, too.
Yeah.
So he didn't pull it out of nowhere, you know?
That's the thing. Nothing ever comes out of nowhere. No. Every artist, you know, even though sometimes it seems like they're completely doing their own thing or they're on their own wavelength, everybody has their own influences. Everybody has a set of influences.
You ask me, the first real good horror movie from the 30s, and I was like, yeah, that's a badass flick. Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi, The Black Cat. A satanic millionaire. Military dude. Fucking sacrifices his unit out in the fucking, what was it, the Austro-Hungarian War, Austro-Prussian War, I don't remember which war it was. But he sacrificed his own unit to consecrate a ground to build an evil castle. And he's fucking, it's weird incest stuff and necrophilia and
yeah,
torture.
Like I said, they did weirder shit because you had, like, stuff, you had stuff, like, in the 40s, like, cat people, which was kind of like, hey, if she gets sexually aroused, she turns into like a werecat.
Yeah.
So there was that, like, they didn't show it, but they totally like implied that that's what
was going
on.
Now, I've never seen the original Dr. Fu Manchu. They say it's good too, Boris Karloff. But it's kind of like, it's like people say, well, it's good, but you know, he's dressed up as a Chinese guy. That's not, man, it was the 30s. You know what I mean? And
that's just kind
of
what they
and
did.
And Boris Karloff dressed up. Boris Karloff had the role of like many different races of people. You know, fucking white guys, fucking ancient Egyptians, Chinese guys. Because a lot of people don't realize that fucking Karloff was Indian. He was half Indian. So, you know, he kind of had an ethnic flair to him. But he could be any ethnicity he wanted. That's what that was the beauty of cinema and theater. You could be anything as long as you could pull it off. And he could. He could be anything. And I want to see Dr. Fu Manchu, the original, though.
Yeah.
It's real good.
But
torture scenes and shit.
Yeah. Like you said, in the 50s, they were kind of like having to toe the line.
They were hobbled.
So.
Yeah.
But within those constraints, I feel like William Castle did a good job of like just basically giving the kids what they wanted. Like I said, it was just like going to a carnival and riding like a scary fun house ride where it was just like fun. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what they could do.
That's what I mean. And so I think that he was like really the best purveyor of doing that. Like I said, later on, after horror got taken more seriously, you know, then it was a whole different ball game.
Yeah. Even The Blob, which was sci-fi, had Alien, had an element of horror in it.
Yeah.
It scared the shit out of me when that bum got that blob on his hand and it was eating him up. And it just ate up his whole body. That was horrible. Especially for that era.
That's pretty fucked up even for now.
That was very early 60s, I think, wasn't it?
The Blob was 61,
62 maybe.
I thought it was earlier than that, but I thought it was 58.
Maybe 58, okay.
I could be remembering
that.
That
was about as hard as you
were
going to get back in those days because of those codes that they had, and there wasn't no real rating system. It just had to be general audience. Everything had to be general audience. But that came real close. And they still kind of had to make light of it with silly rock songs and fucking jokes towards the end, but...
Yeah, it's like, it's not real. Calm down.
But it seemed like in this era, sci-fi tended to effectively do horror better than horror did.
And like you said, that's probably because they had...
plausibility and other things. You know, you believed it because it was an alien.
Yeah, and like an alien could be...
An alien might be able to do that.
Sure.
Right.
So, yeah, so don't go into, like, if you haven't seen House on Haunted Hill, don't go into it, like, thinking it's going to be scary or anything like that. But it's just, like, a fun... Like I said, it just reminds me of, like, Halloween. You know what I mean? It's kind of just one of those fun Halloween... You just kind of have it on the background in the Halloween party, and there's kind of, like, scary shit going on, like, fake skeletons and stuff. And it's just fun. It's just, like, a fun sort of ride. Now, they remade this in 1999. Several people, they had started this company called Dark Castle, and they started it with the express purpose of remaking, like, making their own low-budget horror films, too, but mostly, like, remaking... kind of like 50s horror movies, like for modern audiences, right? So, I mean, they called it Dark Castle because of William Castle. And so they ended up doing this movie. They did House of Wax, which wasn't a William Castle movie, but whatever. It was from the same era. They did 13 Ghosts. They did all that kind of stuff. Now, interestingly, the 1999 House on Haunted Hill, it kind of has the same setup. It's not great, but it's not terrible. I actually didn't hate it. The CGI sucks ass. But, like, by today's standards. But it was actually still pretty fun. Interestingly, though, the 1999 one goes a lot more into the history of the house. Actually, it's not even a house. It was, like, a asylum. And the remake also makes it much clearer that the house absolutely is haunted, even though it still has kind of the noir subplot. But the guy that owns the house or the guy that rents the house in the movie is like an amusement park tycoon type of guy. So that's how he pulls off like all these tricks and everything. But it is actually haunted. And they almost went, this is really weird, but they almost went like in a cosmic horror direction. They went in a thing where all of the people that have died in this house kind of like all came together into this one sort of shape-shifting entity, which is just called the Darkness. So I thought that was an interesting angle. It goes like way far afield from the original source material, which, like I said, just left it ambiguous as to whether the house was haunted or not. But so I thought that was kind of, I don't know if I loved that, but at least they did something different. As I said, the CGI in that movie is god awful. But it's pretty fun. It's like has some gory shit in it. You know, it was a good time. It's not a great movie, but you know, they remade 13 Ghosts too, which was almost exactly the same story, but they had like all these kind of big stars in it. It was kind of fun. But, you know, so do you have anything else you would like to add? Okay, no. So House on Haunted Hill, as I said, it's in public domain. Always a good time watching Vincent Price. My favorite part, watching him fucking bicker with that wife of his and that whole, like, convoluted plot and everything. But, yeah, it's just, like, a fun, like I said, just, like, a fun little haunted house ride. Fun thing to put on at Halloween. Your kids can watch it, and it's not too scary. Remake is decent. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. It's worth watching, though, but it's a lot different than the original. So let us know what you think about it in the comments, and that will do it for this movie retrospective. We will see you guys on the next one. Bye.